Good afternoon. The hour of 1 o'clock having arrived, the Committee on Agriculture, Finance, and Policy is called to order. Today is Wednesday, March 12, 2025. A quorum is present. Representative Lawrence, would you like to move the minutes?
Chair Harder, I would be happy to move the minutes.
Thank you. Representative Lawrence moves the minutes. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. The motion prevails and the minutes are approved. The first bill on the agenda is House File 2052. Chair Anderson, would you like to move your bill?
Yes, Madam Chair. Thank you. I'd like to move House File 2052.
Chair Anderson moves that House File 2052 be referred to the General Register. Chair Anderson, please present your bill.
Thank you again, Madam Chair. This bill is language given to us by the Department of Agriculture. It allows the EMDA to accept a payment for a food certificate at the time of application. I'd like your support to send this bill to the General Register as a vehicle bill.
Thank you, Chair Anderson.
Can I renew my motion that House File 2052 be referred to the General Register?
Thank you, Chair Anderson. Is there anyone here who would like to testify for or against House File 2052? Anyone in the audience? All right, seeing none. Is there any discussion amongst from members? Any members have any questions? Seeing none. Chair Anderson, would you like to renew your motion?
Yeah, I'd like to renew the motion to House File 2052 be referred to the General Register, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Chair Anderson renews his motion that House File 2052 be referred to the General Register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed say nay. The motion prevails and House File 2052 is on its way to the General Register. The next item on the agenda today is House File 1704. Representative Anderson, would you like to move your bill?
Madam Chair, I'd like to move House File 1704 be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Okay. Chair Anderson moves that House File 1704 be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Chair Anderson, would you like to move the DE3 amendment?
Yes, Madam Chair, I'd like to move the DE3 amendment to 1704.
Chair Anderson moves that H-1704 DE3 amendment. Members, we took public testimony on Monday. Today, we will limit testimony to those who will provide answers to questions and provide clarification on the language in the DE3 amendment or the author's amendments. There is written testimony in members' folders from people who provided it for our meetings this week. The first amendment on the list is the A1. Chair Anderson, would you like to move the A1 amendment to the DE3 amendment and describe the amendment?
Thanks, Madam Chair. I'd like to move the A1 amendment. And it is strictly a technical amendment. You can read for yourself on page 14, line 12. Delete the word and insert the word to. And on page 15, line 24, after the second comma, insert with priority given to.
Is there any discussion from members regarding the A1 amendment? All right. All those in favor of the A1 amendment say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed say nay. The motion prevails and the amendment to the amendment is adopted. The next amendment is the A4. Chair Anderson, would you like to move the A4 amendment to the DE3 amendment?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. And just a word on the one we just passed. It reinserts a language that goes back to last year's bill that gives priority to those that have annual sales under 100,000 and produce certain specialty crops. So that was the A1. And now I'd like to move the A2 amendment or the A4 amendment.
A4.
Okay, thank you. And this amendment, again, technical in nature, cleans up rider language related to the Forever Green Initiative.
Thank you, Chair Anderson. Is there any discussion from members regarding the A4 amendment? Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and members and Minnesotans watching at home. With the election yesterday and with the imminent tie coming, we are not going to expend a great deal of energy here on our side of the aisle today because this bill isn't going anywhere. But even the amendments today that are coming, not heard in committee before, not bills introduced, just magical provisions. And magical provisions that come in without bills or without previous discussion into omnibus bills, it's something we haven't seen for about 6 years. This is a common tactic. It was a tactic last night in Ways and Means as well. So it's part of the pattern of putting things in that haven't really been vetted and then on their way. This bill will leave this committee but does not have the votes to pass the floor, no matter what's in it. But we do have some comments on this. Members are going to have their conscience vote on a number of these amendments, but we will debate them, but we are not going to expend a great deal of energy as next week we will have to actually get down to collaborative work.
Thank you, Representative Hansen. Chair Anderson, would you like to address Representative Hansen?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And the election yesterday changes things here. I get that. But I would still reiterate that this bill is a good bill. It spans over the base budget. And you maybe got the same thing I did. In fact, I think you did. A notice from the department yesterday. And again, we've talked a lot about the situation in Washington, D.C., which really is above our pay grades. But the department was notified, Department of Ag notified, they're going to be losing some funding for school food purchasing, child care institution food purchasing, and another program totaling about $18 million being. And evidently this, I'm not sure if this is a temporary cut or a permanent cut, but again, that is lost funding to the Department of Ag and to the people of Minnesota. And I would add that this bill increases ag funding by $17 million from base funding. So we had talked about this bill, but again, just remember that this is a good bill for the committee and that's all I'm going to say, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Chair Anderson. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Chair Anderson. I think that actually validates the point. It is a bill, but the choices that are going to have to be made dealing with the destruction from Washington, we would have a choice where we would provide different priorities on spending, and those would be feeding kids, making up for the costs that have been cut by the federal government, trying to help people. And that's a different priority than the bill that's in front of us. We don't know because, as Commissioner Peterson said on Monday, every day there's something new. Today, Canada has announced the retaliatory tariffs, which are going to impact potash dramatically, as well as energy costs. So we believe it's important to work together. We have different priorities. One of those priorities is dealing with kids and making sure they got food and the programs that are being slashed and burned at the federal level. We have got to try to make sure that we're providing those basic services to people in our state.
Thank you, Representative Hansen. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Those programs take money, and I can't sit here and guarantee anything, but I have a strong suspicion that this would be the highest target that this committee would have this year. Targets have not been set yet, and we were given the latitude to have a target of this size. And again, I strongly support it, and the priorities in this bill I would stand behind. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Chair Anderson. I'd like to remind members that we are on the A4 amendment, which is technical in nature. Do other members have questions for the author on the amendment? Okay. All right, seeing none. All those in favor of the A4 amendment say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed say nay.
Nay.
The motion prevails and the amendment to the amendment is adopted. The next amendment is the A5. Chair Anderson, would you like to move the A5 amendment to the DE3 amendment?
Madam Chair, I move the A5 amendment. This amendment, what this does, it just adds an eligible use to the Agri grant program. There is promising technology and a process that uses ag products or waste stream, mainly beet pulp, to replace plastic and is a safe alternative to PFAS. This is a very new technology. We just heard about this a couple of weeks ago. Nothing intentional about holding anything back. We will have a hearing on this concept at a later meeting. There is no spending in this amendment. It simply allows the MDA to use money from the Agri program to incentivize Minnesota production of this PFAS alternative.
Thank you, Chair Anderson. Is there any discussion from members regarding the A5 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A5 amendment say aye.
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 Those opposed say nay.
Nay.
The motion prevails and the amendment to the amendment is adopted. All right, the next amendment is the A2. Chair Anderson, would you like to move the A2 amendment to the DE3 amendment?
Thanks, Madam Chair. Yes, I move the A2 amendment. This amendment inserts the language from House File 1500, which we have heard, into the bill. It simply adds one word, the word advanced, that was inadvertently dropped from the previous update due to the statute related to an advanced biofuel production incentive program. So that is the amendment, Madam Chair. It was heard in committee, and I would move for approval of that amendment.
Thank you, Chair Anderson. Is there any discussion from members regarding the A2 amendment? Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And, you know, Representative Anderson, this is, I think, a good example. It does broaden the applicability for biofuel incentives, and we have to contrast that with food for kids.
Was there a question? Chair Anderson?
Madam Chair, I'd remind committee members that there is money in this bill for farm to school. There's base funding from previous biennium. So there is funding in this bill to feed kids in a farm to school program. We have other programs as well that do much the same. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Chair Anderson. Representative Anderson? Or I'm sorry, Representative Hansen? No. All right. Any other members have any questions? All right. All those in favor of the A2 amendment say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay.
No.
The motion prevails and the amendment to the amendment is adopted. The next amendment is the A3. Chair Anderson, would you like to move the A3 amendment to the DE3 amendment?
Yes, Madam Chair, I'd like to move the A3. This amendment adds a section that was part of House File 47 from Representative Schultz when it passed in this committee and was heard last week.
Thank you, Chair Anderson. Is there any discussion from members regarding the A3 amendment? Representative Smith.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And before I forget, I would like to request a roll call on accepting this amendment.
Thank you. A roll call has been requested. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. As you mentioned, we did hear this last week. Representative Schultz brought forth this bill. We had a discussion on it, and time again, we were told that the parties were working together to find an equitable solution. But this amendment, as it comes before us, the main sticking point between the industry and labor on this is still in the bill, that a course that is completed and ready to go, that there are 7 certified courses for 40 hours to help with safety, because we know there is a rise in dangers from underground telecommunications installation across the state and especially in our metro area. It's ready to go, But this is rolling that back to just a 10-hour requirement, which to me continues the main problem we had with this bill, which is it will continue to make this industry less safe, our people less safe, as these things are being rolled out. So I'm going to ask members to vote no on this amendment. And when we actually get working on bills, I hope Representative Schultz does follow through and work towards a better solution than this one. I might also add that I just don't think this is an ag issue. This should be done in labor. This should be done in workforce. There's a lot of committees that where this should be happening. And I think we have to ask the question, why is it happening in ag? And I think that the answer is wanting to get it in this bill very quickly. But as our soon-to-be Chair Hansen, Co-Chair Hansen has said, I don't think this bill is going anywhere anyway, but I would ask members to vote no.
Thank you, Representative Anderson or Smith. Chair Anderson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The reason this bill is in the ag bill is that broadband is now under the jurisdiction of this committee. I didn't do that. It's been that way for a while. I'm brought to us by the Senate, but that's why it's in this bill. It's under our jurisdiction.
Representative Smith?
I didn't respond.
Right. Other members have questions for the discussion? A roll call has been requested.
Chair Anderson?
Anderson, aye.
Representative Harder?
Aye.
Representative Hansen?
No.
Representative Smith?
No.
Representative Agbaje?
No.
Representative Burkle?
Aye.
Representative Frederick?
No.
Representative Gander?
Aye.
Representative Jacob?
Yes.
Representative Lawrence?
Representative Lawrence votes aye.
Representative Lee?
No.
Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Representative Vang?
No.
There being seven ayes and six nays, the motion prevails, and the amendment to the amendment is adopted. Members, this is all the amendments to the DE3. We will now move to member discussion on the DE3 amendment as amended. Further discussion. Representative Vang.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Chair Anderson, I've always appreciated working with you for these past couple of terms that I've been in the Ag Committee. I've considered you to be a reasonable person that a reasonable lead that I can work with during my time when I was chair, and even as just a member of the working member of the committee. And today I will be voting no because I think putting this bill forward, pushing it forward, is quite unreasonable considering that it won't go anywhere and that this bill falls short on meeting the needs of farmers of today. We have farmers who are concerned about the tariff trade wars that our president is doing right now. I don't think nothing in this bill addresses how we can be the safety net for farmers. We know that the farm bill is not going to pass once again, and that has always been a safety net for farmers. And now with the cuts in federal programs in USDA, it now falls on the state to be that safety net for our farmers. And I don't think this bill addresses these immediate needs. And I will hope that moving forward that you will continue to work with our side, with our co-chair, Representative Hansen, to continue to address these issues and emerging issues like HIPAATH as well. And as always, we've always expressed continuing to work together. And so I hope that will be the tone that we set moving forward after, we are done discussing this bill. And thank you, Madam Chair, for your indulgence.
Chair Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I've appreciated working with you too, Chair Vang, over the years. I would add the comment, and I think I said this the other day too, we cannot expect the state to be the backdrop of federal programs being put to the wayside. The amount of money can be staggering in the state. Our ag budget is, what, $167 million. That's literally pocket change at USDA in terms of the volume and the amount of programs available there. So we cannot expect the state to be a total backdrop to programs the change in Washington, and again, we can't control that. Some are permanent, I think some are temporary, but we do with what we can here. And I just was looking through the bill on page 9. We have nearly $1.3 billion the first year, $1.3 million the second year for providing more fruit, vegetables, meat, poultry, grain, dairy for children in school and early childhood education settings. And I would imagine that's as much as the last bill, probably a little bit more, I'm not sure, but there is money in here for child nutrition. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Vang.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't really have anything follow up. I think, you know, I would like to challenge us as members that we are all going through a challenging time for the economic forecasts and the budget shortfalls that we're faced with. I know that with farmers, with the trade wards, I think we at the state, though with limited capacity, I think we can be visionaries in terms of how can we continue to build new markets for farmers, for example. How can we continue to sustain and innovate for our farmers and help them to be finding access to either developing, we have a trade office, right? We can focus on how can we develop new partnerships with other countries. I think, you know, there's many ideas, and I think if we can spend more time as a committee to discuss those ideas, I think that will be something that will be worth having, worth use of our committee time. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Vang. Representative Smith.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I look forward on working on a actual ag budget from this committee going forward. I thought we worked really well together, for example, on the grain buyers bill that we passed off the floor earlier this week, and I hope that will be reflected in the coming weeks. But I also, you know, we can't pretend that this budget that you presented in front of us didn't come in front of us, that it doesn't exist. And budgets show our priorities. Budgets are hard choices. You said so many times, Sharon, and I completely agree. You have to make hard decisions, especially in legislative budgets. Even Minnesotans know that around the kitchen table. But when you make those decisions, you show what you value. And there are many things in this bill that are good, but one reflection point that I see, it's a decision you made that honestly is quite tragic to me, is in the area of food insecurity. Food insecurity is rising in Minnesota. Minnesotans made nearly 9 million trips to food banks last year, 2024, that full year. That is the fourth year in a row that Minnesotans have shattered records of having to visit food banks. If you look at the charts, and I can send them to you if you want, it's a steadily rising line, which by itself is concerning. And then in 2021, it skyrocketed, and it skyrockets every year. Food shelf visits increased by an average of 18% across every single county in Minnesota, and some of them quite high. My own county saw Olmsted County saw an almost 40% rise in the need for food banks by food bank visits. And our federal government is seeing this data and responding with roughly $1 billion cuts to local food purchases for schools and food banks nationwide, announced this week. And that is compounded again by Republicans in our federal Congress slashing school meals, SNAP, a bunch of food programs to help pay for $4.6 trillion in federal tax cuts, primarily going to the most wealthy in our country. the ag cuts, just to bring it home, what does it mean for Minnesotans? Roughly $13.3 million that were supposed to be purchased for schools or for child care centers are not coming to Minnesota from Washington, D.C. anymore. The local food for schools program funding, in a spreadsheet you can see now at the department, was supposed to get $9,226,348 for school food purchasing, $4,445,518 for child care food purchasing. And on top of that, there's the Minnesota Local Food Purchase Assistant that would get almost $5 million. None of that money is coming now. We are not getting it in Minnesota for people who need access to food, especially locally grown food, which we should care about in this committee. It's all gone. And I realize you all are not making those decisions in Washington. You've said that a couple times as we've been discussing this. Now, I think that's somewhat dubious because it is a party priority, it seems, but I'll allow that. But you are in direct control of this budget that is in front of us today. And in this, one of the few things that is cut from the base is Second Harvest Heartland, almost $1 million, both bienniums that are on this this spreadsheet. And Second Harvest Heartland, I'll just bring it to my own, not call anyone out, I'll bring it to my own county that is struggling with food insecurity. Our local food bank, Channel One Food Bank, gets direct grants every year from Second Harvest Heartland that is not going, we probably won't get because of this budget, if this budget was going to pass, which it is not going to. That's a hard decision, but that's a decision you chose to make, Chair, in making this partisan budget. That is disappointing. It's one of many reasons I'll be voting no on this, and I hope when we get together we can come up with a bill that at the very least doesn't cut existing programs that help Minnesotans who are struggling with food insecurity, but in fact expands those programs. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Smith. Chair Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't argue with the need for nutritional help. Second Harvest Heartland, their revenues the past few years have been in the millions of dollars, and they saw fit to hire a person last summer that went out to get voter registration, as I understand. But anyway, we did fund them. Their funding was reduced, but they still have a significant amount of funding available to them. And I would also add on page 9 of this bill, up to $1 million the first year, $1 million the second year for the Good Food Access Program under Minnesota statutes, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Follow-up, Representative Smith.
We'll talk about this in the coming weeks, but I hope that this is going to be a priority when we do work together on a budget going forward.
Thank you, Representative Smith. Representative Gander.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, I look at this budget that's been brought forward, and before we say that it's going nowhere or that it's a dead duck or that it has absolutely no merit, I think we can safely say it's a starting point for continued conversation. It's not a world apart from even our budgets of previous years, right? It's a continuation of, and it does show the priorities of all different people. The very fact that we have such great food insecurity as we do, you know, you have to look at real spendable cash among our people right now. And that has dropped off precipitously, whether their wages have stagnated, whether the inflation took place. So the spendable cash and the available resources people have to buy food, it's been depleted, right? And that's where you get your food insecurity. And I'm not going to point fingers of where that has come from, but those are the kinds of trends that we need to turn so that the food insecurity no longer exists. I mean, we really need to be thinking about a robust economy, lowering inflation, driving up those honest real wages through productivity and other things. That's how you're going to get to a lack of food insecurity among these people we love so much. In the interim, of course, we're going to make sure that there is that floor of decency, that safety net, that nobody in this great country has to go without food. Of course, that's going to be what it is. But please know, anyone who says that this was a futile exercise that from start really provides no benefit, that's just false. Because this really is where we are. You know our preferences. We know your preferences, and this continuation will take place. I serve on the Human Services Committee, and honest to goodness, there is an air of bipartisanship that's showing up on that committee. I walked out of there yesterday before we knew the results of the vote, and to someone on that committee, I said, this is a little scary. You know, y'all are starting to make sense over there. And she said the same back. Yeah, I feel, yeah, you guys made some sense on your side, too. I mean, let's try to work in that direction. Honestly, I think there's a ton of good that you all can bring to this conversation and to every conversation. And to the extent that we're different, that's a good thing. We really are in a unique moment right now to listen to our side, listen to your side, take the best of both, and turn it into the items that we take action on. So I guess I should have a question, though, for our testifier here today. But I'm gonna throw in one more thing to your observation that he is a really helpful, kind, just good person. I mean, he brought me in, like, the first day that I testified, and these guys said, yeah, you're going to have to bring treats, and here's what you can expect. I mean, to mentor us coming in and help us to go along the way, I can't say anything but good for the team that we have on this committee. And I'm sure Co-Chair Hansen coming up, you're going to be exactly the same. I know you have those same leadership skills, those same elements of guiding to consensus that we're going to need to do anything good coming out of here. But I think it's important for us both to know that there were changes that took place in this last election, and those changes are real. It's a trend toward the viewpoints that we have. In the state of Minnesota, by 3 votes, the House moved in this direction. And that means the voice at this table is going to be a little more equal to the two sides than it was last year. Okay, we're all going to have to get used to that, and we're all going to have to bring the best we have every single day to bring good outcomes to this group. So if there's a question in there, you can sure answer it, and thank you, Madam Chair.
Chair Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, for a freshman, Representative Gander, that was spoken like a true statesman. I appreciate your comments, and yes, we do need to work together, and going forward, I'm sure we will. And Madam Chair, I think I still have the floor.
Yes.
You know, in the earlier meetings that we had, I think we agreed that the Board of Animal Health and Ag Emergency were maybe our top priorities. At least I think I said that. And I hope some of those thoughts still remain, because our livestock industry is extremely important to this state. And I would just say I look forward to next week when you will have co-chairmanship, Representative Hansen, to see your ideas and what your plans are to kind of backfill, if I'm hearing correctly, all these programs that have been temporarily or permanently ceased from Washington. It's not going to be easy. Again, you know, we could take this entire budget and backfill a couple of programs and leave everything else out, but we can't do that. We have to prioritize, and still think of the farmer out there that plants his crop every year and harvests a crop, and that they provide the feed and food that feeds the nation, feeds the world. And livestock is also a key part of that. So we can't forget our base mission, base core mission, as we talk about all these peripheral things. Now, that's my opinion, and I'll stop.
All right. Representative Gander, did you have anything else to add?
No, thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. Representative Frederick.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Chair Anderson, you've said both on Monday and today that this is a good bill. What I would say is, there are good things in this bill, but I do not support this bill. And I'm kind of confused, because I asked you, Chair Anderson, on Monday. I read the power sharing agreement, and I asked, does this bill reflect the power sharing agreement that says the chairs, the co-chairs of the committees will work together? And you said that this is the Republican bill. And to hear right now in this committee Representative Gander say that this is a starting point, it makes me curious where the thought process of where we are literally right now. Like this bill hearing that we are having today is an attempt to take this and not be the starting point, but the ending point. That's the goal. And so when you say that this is a starting point, it feels like, and maybe unintentionally, but it feels like gaslighting the situation that we are in, because literally this is what is attempting to be is the ending point, that this is going to be the hope by some that this is the final bill of this committee. So when you say, oh, it's just a starting point, that's not true. And that's denying the reality of what we're having before us. And you just said, too, that we are equals, right? You talked about the election, about how there was three districts that changed from Democrats to Republicans, and now we have equal membership in this body. That's true, right? And Representative or Chair Anderson said you spoke as a statesman. If we are equals, why is this attempting to be the final point of this committee? And I think our side here is pointing out that we want to work together. This is not that. And I'm trying to say that right now while at the same time recognizing there are good things in this, things that our side probably really like, maybe a few provisions here and there, probably some that we would compromise on. But there's some stuff that we don't support at all in this bill, too. I mean, we know that's the nature of politics. But if the idea is that we are working together, that is not this bill. And I want to correct that for everyone in this room. The process for this broke. It's not okay. So I want to point that out for everyone that is here. Because as Representative Smith talked about, right, I'm grateful for the increases that we are putting for, like, childcare food, food assistance. That's awesome. We need to do that. I think that's really good. I'm also concerned, such as Representative Smith outlined, about the Farm to Food Shelf program, about how we're decreasing funding for that. The need is great, and we need to do more. I don't think that we can completely backfill for the federal government, to your point, Chair Anderson. You're right on that. We can't. But at the same time, when you look at provisions in this bill, while we are increasing for child care food, but we're decreasing for the Farm to Food Shelf program, but we're also giving over the biennium $3 million for biofuel infrastructure so gas stations can upgrade their equipment. I've carried that bill for investing in our biofuel infrastructure, but in a year like this, where we're going to have to make cuts across every committee in this body to say we want gas stations to have more money to upgrade their infrastructure above the baseline is not the way to solve the challenges of hungry people across the state of Minnesota. So the process, I'm going to go back to, this bill is broken. This is not meant to be a starting point. This is not meant to be some sort of, we're going to have a negotiation and make this better. This is an attempt by your side of the aisle to say this is the final bill. We don't want to work with Democrats. And I want that to be reflected in the record. So I will be voting no, and I encourage the committee to vote no. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Frederick. Chair Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Frederick, I respect you and what you say, but as we talked about this power sharing agreement, as I understand it, when the agreement was made to have Representative Damuth be Speaker of the House, we would be committee chairs for these 5 weeks and would be in charge. That's the agreement that was in effect that I understood. And when the new member is sworn in, I believe next Monday, that's when we go back to equal numbers of members on the committee and co-chairs. So that was my understanding of what a power share agreement was in the agreement that was reached by leadership when you came back after being gone for 4 weeks.
Thank you, Chair Anderson. Follow-up, Representative Frederick?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The fact that we were denying quorum for the first 4 weeks has been brought up, was brought up on Monday a couple times. You just brought it up again now. I think we could sit here and we could point fingers back and forth at each other, and I don't think anyone in Minnesota is served by that. And so instead of pointing the finger back, all I would say is if time is the concern, time is the thing that you want to focus on, we still have time to continue to debate bills, as we will. And so there is not a need for this right now.
Chair Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Before the committee began today, I was talking to Representative Hansen about how we're going to arrange things next week, who's going to be chair first. And he brought up a point that I think we're correct in saying this, that we're going to be missing a couple of Mondays because of holidays in the next month or so. So our committee days of Mondays and Wednesdays are going to be extremely limited, and we may have to meet other days of the week. But, yeah, it is going to be a time crunch, very much so. And, you know, you brought up that I brought up about you being not here for 4 weeks. Well, I kind of feel the same way in every committee meeting I go to, hearing about cuts from Washington. You know, and I know we're all politicians and we do our thing, but, you know, again, we can't do anything about that. So I guess if you're frustrated by things we say, I guess I kind of feel the same way, that we are in every committee meeting kind of reminded greatly about what's happening in Washington, and I think that's just what we do.
Representative Frederick, all right. Representative Gander.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just want to respond back to Representative Frederick and maybe one or two more things. First of all, I have to agree, when you spoke of, initially we talked about power sharing, found out that one couldn't be seated, so for these 5 weeks we would have the majority and would conduct ourselves with a straight-up singular chair, and the majority in each of these committees. That also was negotiated for that interim period, which will revert back then to 50-50 everything, every committee, and so on. And so I don't think we've been at all disingenuous for conducting ourselves as a committee with a majority during this period of time that we have available to us. And this does reflect, in our view, the priorities that we would have, and as we have that majority at this time, the ability to reflect a budget that shows our priorities, then that's what we're going to bring forward and go for approval. Now, the way that this becomes a starting point is, you know, it's a chess game, and if you go even one move ahead to next week when it's all 50-50, we know that this gets reopened. And I just wanted to make it clear that when this turns into a reopener, it's not pure garbage. It really is. Then it becomes that starting point. So it's the end point of what we would like to see, and it's the starting point of what happens starting next week. So I guess that's the point that I would want to make. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative, Representative Burkle.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I guess I just have a few quick points to make on what I feel is an extremely strong bill. I think it covers a lot of the things we've both agreed on in the past, and particularly I'll point to some of the DFL efforts to fund urban ag and good food access for Evergreen, and they're all in here. So in my mind, this is the final product, Representative Frederick, and I'd remind everyone that, and I think it's been forgotten, it's easy to talk about the current administration, but let's not forget that we had $18 billion surplus not that very long ago, and that we raised $10 billion in taxes, and now look at a $6 billion deficit. So if there's frustration on all sides about where we're at and what we're going to do next, let's understand why we're really here. You could take all that money, and you would not even come remotely close to a backstop for what USDA does on the federal level. So, yeah, we're waiting for budget targets. This is going to be the best ag bill we could put forward. And I think anyone at MDA anyone at the Board of Animal Health would agree, just looking at the numbers we've allocated to them, that this is a good product. And I think moving forward, I just advise everyone to really consider whether or not this kind of an ag bill is something they want to push forward, because quite honestly, this is the best we're going to see. So I'd advise everyone here to please vote yes. This should be the final product. Thank you.
Chair Anderson.
Oh, thanks, Madam Chair. Representative Burkle, I agree with you. And I would just add, I think in our opinion, in Representative Burkle's opinion, I think this is the best target we're going to see. We put this together, and now we heard the forecast, the February forecast, and, you know, we're probably okay for, we got a couple hundred million dollars for these 2 years, but the out years are concerning. And I was here back in, I think it was 2011, and one number that's kind of seared into my memory was a $6.2 billion deficit. We heard that day after day after day. And I think we were probably in the majority then. You know, the economy kind of went bad in 2008, and you know, it's difficult. And I think if there is a positive thing we can look at today, it's that we have time to make some of the decisions that have to be made to whittle that $6 billion down and not have to do it all in 2 years. That would be a monumental task. Yeah, it was Mark Biskins, that's who it was, that would stand up in the back and say $6.2 billion deficit. And we may face that again, I don't know. But again, I stand by this bill with the spending target we were given, and I would ask for support.
Thank you, Chair Anderson. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The number that's seared into my mind is 68, not 67, not 66, but 68. And neither of us have 68. And I thought for a moment, Representative Gander was very eloquent. I thought he was almost going to move to table the bill so we could work on it. I thought that's where he was going, but I was disappointed. But I've learned disappointment sitting here. You know, I think the thing I reflect on being on this committee essentially my whole time here. And we have, on a bipartisan basis, essentially done very much the same thing each biennium. We see the same earmarks for nonprofits that have been there almost the whole time I've been here. Earmarks for this and earmarks for that. And generally what happens is every line item seems to be a new fund that gets established with each chair. So the two of us probably can't do another fund in this item, or should we? But every time there's money, there's a new fund created, so there's a legacy. But the legacy I look at is growing up, being in a class of 26 people, going to school in a town of 300 people, and at that time, those 300 people in that town had a Chevy dealership, a Ford dealership, two grocery stores, a barber shop, a cafe, a lumber yard, an elevator, a post office, a school, and a bank. All independently owned. Now there is a bank that's part of a charter with another bank in a bigger town 20 miles away. And there's a post office, and there's a bar. That's it. So doing the same thing decade after decade of tweaking something here, cutting something there, what happens now with the federal administration is we are going to be forced to look at very basic things, whether we want to or not. Very, very basic things on how we do things. So should we be doing what we've always done? Should we just continue cutting this a little bit here or adding a little bit there, but the ship of agriculture keeps moving in the same direction? And I think there's going to have to be a different way, and that's going to be really challenging. Challenging for the people in the room who sit behind us that are paid to be here, the people at home who aren't paid, who are wondering that, hoping that we do the right thing, and the fear that's out there with insecurity or uncertainty that all of us in all of our districts face. So how do we do better? And it is going to be extremely difficult for all of us. Because what's happening in Washington, we're going to keep getting shocks every day. So I believe our side is saying that we have to help those who are not able to help themselves. We have to make choices because the budget is the moral document. How do we do better? And we don't have enough. There are people who will lose. But doing the same thing is not going to work. We have to do things differently. I'll ask for a roll call on the DE and on the bill. This is not going anywhere. Tomorrow is another day. I guess Monday is even another day that we can work together. As I've said before, we stand ready to work together. But the crises will continue. We can't pretend that it's not happening. And we can't pretend that we continue to do the same thing over and over. Whether we win or lose next time, and we can debate the last election or the previous elections, it doesn't matter. People count on us and are believing in us to do the right thing, regardless of the political consequences. So I believe, Representative Anderson, that you can do that, and your side can do that. Our side can do that. But it is going to be very, 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 very difficult. But is necessary.
Chair Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thanks, Representative Co-Chair Hansen. Yeah, well, what you say is spot on. You mentioned those that need help. There's a lot of people that need help. And I think I come from production agriculture. And it's tough out there today. Even before all this Washington stuff came about, you can't magically count on corn prices dropping from $7 down to $3.50, and your fertilizer bill doubling, and your chemical bill doubling, and try to make money, make a profit. And that's why we're all in the occupations we're in. So just agriculture is challenging this year. And whatever the state can do in terms of, you know, regulations, permitting, we hear ethanol plants, for example, that would like to expand to be more efficient, and it's difficult to permit in this state. I don't know how many times I've heard people say that if I could do it over again, I would go to South Dakota and set up business. So maybe it's not just what we do in ag, but what we do at the PCA, at Department of Health, and every other department in this state to make things easier to do. And I'm maybe getting off tangent here, but I had a bill this morning in a committee to allow farmers that employ five or fewer workers to be exempt from sick and safe time. It was totally a party line situation. And we talked about helping farmers. And these programs we're putting on small business and farmers, sick and safe and paid family leave, are going to make it more difficult to operate in the state as a small business. And farming can be a small business, or you can have big business and be a farm. Farms range at different sizes. And that's just the way the economy has evolved. We have big grocery stores today, too. We don't have so many mom and pops. And I think I just heard last night, I don't do a lot of cooking down here, but the store I stop in on Robert Street is closing, the grocery store. Sad to see that. I don't know when they're closing, but they announced it last night. So things happen. But again, we do what we can. We make priorities. We've kind of gotten off the topic of helping agriculture, ag emergency, making sure Board of Animal Health has what they need to keep livestock alive and help keep all of us safe. So these are things we have to do. And if we're wrapping things up, Madam Chair, those are my final comments, and I would ask for support.
Representative Hansen, do you have any follow-up?
Just finally, this is the only omnibus budget bill that is being acted on this week. It's the only one. So, you know, I appreciate all your other committees that everything is awesome, and but this is the only one where there's an attempt to move it through while you have the 67-66 majority, the only one. And the number, again, that's seared in my mind is 68, and we're not there. So vote no.
Chair Anderson?
Yeah, just one final comment on that. It's not just 68, it's 68, 34, and 1 to get a bill to become law. That was has been drummed into me by Mr. Knisely. You need the House, you need the Senate, and the governor, in most cases, to sign a bill. Again, I would encourage support, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Chair Anderson. A roll call having been requested, there we will be doing a roll call on H1704DE3 amendment as amended. The committee legislative assistant will take the roll.
Chair Anderson.
And again, Madam Chair, I don't know if I did, but I'd like to refer my motion that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means, and I vote yes.
Chair Anderson, we're on the DE3, not not the underlying bill.
Sorry. It's been a good discussion. I'm sorry. I'll stop.
Okay. Chair Anderson?
Yes, I'm
muted. I believe that'd be an aye.
Representative Harder?
Aye.
Representative Hansen?
No.
Representative Smith?
No.
Representative Agbaje?
No.
Representative Burkle?
Aye.
Representative Frederick?
No.
Representative Gander?
Aye.
Representative Jacob?
Yes.
Representative Lawrence?
Lawrence votes aye.
Representative Lee?
Lee, no.
Representative Nelson?
Aye.
Representative Fang?
No.
It's being adopted. Okay. All right, there being 7 ayes and 6 nays, the motion prevails and the amendment as amendment is adopted. Members, we are now on House File 1704 as amended. Is there any further discussion from members? Representative Hansen.
I thought Representative Anderson was kind of coming our way there on that last one.
Andy, for any discussion on House File 1704? I'm seeing none. Chair Anderson, do you have final comments on House File 1704 as amended? 1704.
Madam Chair, now I can say it. Now I renew my motion that House File 1704 be, as amended, be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
All right. Chair Anderson renews his motion that House File 1704 as amended be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed say no. What?
No.
Okay. I apologize. A roll call has been requested.
Chair Anderson?
Anderson, aye.
Representative Harder?
Aye.
Representative Hansen?
No.
Representative Smith?
No.
Representative Agbaje?
No.
Representative Burkle?
Aye.
Representative Frederick?
No.
Representative Gander?
Aye.
Representative Jacob?
Yes.
Representative Lawrence?
Lawrence votes yes.
Representative Lee?
No.
Representative Nelson?
Yes.
Representative Vang?
No.
All right, there being 7 ayes and 6 nays, the motion prevails and House File 1704 as amended is on its way to Ways and Means. We are efficient today. Members, this concludes our agenda for today. Members, our next meeting is Monday is on Monday at 1 p.m. The meeting is adjourned.